I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Right? I had a great time. I woke up this morning. I was all excited, pumped. I went into Elisa's room, and Elisa was there. And I was just basically told Elisa what Easter was all about. And I was just sharing with her, you know, honey, this is when Jesus rose from the dead. You know, and she was getting a little happy, right? And she probably didn't understand what I was saying, but in spirit, we were connecting. And so it was a really good time, and I look forward to many Easters with my little girl. And, you know, and to me, you know, waking up this morning, I think because if you guys came to our Good Friday service, it was a very, how should I say, a very somber service, as well it should be, right? Our Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross, And some of us that came, we had communion, and we actually saw parts of the passion, and you know, just the really grisly details of all that happened to our Lord Jesus, and you know, and coming from that to this day when He rose from the dead, and you know, a lot of times we kind of miss out on the significance of all that means, and so I want to make sure I make it very clear what it means to all of us, and you know, the title of my message today is Why Easter Matters. I know it says a little something in your bulletin, but that's why Easter matters. And one thing we need to recognize first and foremost, that the cross of Jesus did not prove His ability to save us, right? The cross did not prove the Lord Jesus' ability to save us. What it did prove, it proved His willingness to save us, but it was 3 days later the resurrection proved His ability to save us. And that changes everything. You know, the only reason why that we can look at trouble in the face, or we can look at death in the face and yet have joy and yet be happy and there be some sense of peace in us is because of the resurrection, right? There's no other reason, you know, why there should be any happiness, especially in such a sinful world. You know, I actually wish Aaron was here so he can tell me the exact name of this guy. But there's an old story, and Billy Graham is in his memoirs, and he's talking to the German Chancellor at the time. His name is Konrad Adenauer. And Adenauer turns over to Billy Graham and says, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? You know, and Graham immediately said, yes, I believe it indeed. You know, He did rise from the dead. You know, and then there was kind of a long silence, and Adenauer was sitting there just kind of contemplating a little bit. And then he turned to Billy Graham and says, you know, that's true. He says, outside of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I find no other hope for mankind. You know, and especially very sharp words, because if you understand your history, Adenauer was the guy that picked up the pieces after Hitler had destroyed Germany and pretty much mangled the whole world. And he's the one that brought Germany basically back into prominence. And he said it very succinctly. He says, you know, outside the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I see no other hope for mankind whatsoever. You know, the resurrection was everything to us. It is everything to us. You know, the resurrection proved not only exactly what Jesus said, but it proved that He really meant what He said, right? That He is a man that is a man of His word, right? That fulfills His promises, right? And so it's important for us, and so we come to this place, I mean, to really celebrate. You know, a lot of people say that they believe in the resurrection, they just don't understand it. If you look, you know, this is actually, if you guys know a guy named George Gallup, he does all these polls, you know, all over the United States. And a few years ago, he said 84%, this is Americans now, right? 84% of Americans who never go to church believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That is astounding. 84% of Americans, right? They don't even go to church, but they believe that Jesus rose from the dead. It doesn't bother them too much. They just don't know what it means. You know, they just have no concept of what that really means to us, that He rose from the dead. You know, and we have to come to an understanding that this is historical fact. You know, this is not a secret. You know, this is something that happened throughout history. The whole city of Jerusalem and the whole Roman Empire knew about what was happening. You know, if it happened right now, I guarantee CNN, Fox News, ABC, NBC, you know, and, you know, Sky News Asia and everyone, right, is going to be, you know, there with their cameras, you know, showing pictures of the resurrection. Because it happened. It's a done deal. You know, no matter how many of the skeptics try to, you know, downplay the event, it's written all over history. Roman historians, Jewish historians, it's all laid out there for us. Right? The evidence is there. And you could, you know, pick up any decent book, you know, that kind of shows that this thing really happened. You know, there are at least 15 historical references to Jesus meeting people, touching people, right, talking to people after he was crucified. You know, one time he actually cooked breakfast for these guys. You know, and this is kind of an amazing thing because actually the passages after the resurrection give us a hint of what heaven's going to be like. Now, how many of you guys like to eat? All right, we're in Hong Kong, right? We better like to eat or we're in big trouble, right? But first, when we get to heaven, we get to eat. You know, it's one of those things, right? Jesus had fish, and he was in his glorified, resurrected body, but he ate. He didn't have to eat, because that's what heaven's like, right? You don't grow hungry. You don't have to eat, but he ate, you know, and somehow the food disappeared, right? You know, he probably, you know, I'm not even going to say it, right? And so it was just, a wonderful thing, right? He cooked breakfast for people, right? One time he talked to 500 people in one sitting, right? After he had risen from the dead, right? A lot of people saw him. You know, he rose, he said this is what he was going to do, and he did it. You know, he said he had the power to do it, and he did it, right? And we understand that Jesus, right, he keeps his promises, you know? But we come to this place, well, okay, Pastor Sam, I believe in the resurrection, right? Even your little discussion that you made, I'm even more convinced now, right? But then we come back to the, well, what does this mean for us, right? And I reckon that most of us struggle with this thing. You know, I think a lot of things we kind of believe and we take things at face value and we're kind of trusting people and, you know, and whatnot. And so what does that mean for me, though? Right? What does the resurrection make? What difference does it make? Right? And it matters. I just have a couple reasons. It matters for three reasons. Right? Number one, it matters because my past can be forgiven. Right? It matters because my past can be forgiven. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking, my past can be forgiven. Have you ever been halfway through a project and just wish you could start all over again? You know, I was growing up, I was just one of these anal kids. And if I was, you know, writing something, you know, and when I was in high school, believe it or not, we didn't have computers. Right, and so there was no quick delete button. I used a typewriter. My freshman year in high school, I took typing class, you know, with an IBM Selectric. You know, this is one of those that goes this way. It makes a lot of good noises when you type, and you know, and so you know, if I made a mistake, you know, there wasn't any kind of special button that I could press that would get rid of it. I had to just get a whole new paper out and stick it in and start all over again. Right, and so, and a lot of our lives were like this, right? There's a lot of times, you know, that we wish we could start all over again. You know, if I were to, you know, ask, you know, some of you in a one-on-one situation, you know, is there anything that you regret? You know, is there anything that you've done that you wish you hadn't have done? Or is there anything, you know, and this, mostly us guys are like this, right? Is there anything you said that you wish you hadn't said? You know, and is there anything, you know, that, you know, that you did to someone that you wish you didn't and you feel bad about and whatnot. You know, but because of the resurrection, every single one of us, we get to start all over again. Right? All over again. That's why people love, you know, the beginning of semesters. You know, because no matter what you did last semester, you're all back to zero now or 100 or however else you look at it. If you're a glass half full or half empty, right? You either start with an A or start with an F and then you work from there. You know, or, you know, the new year comes, you know, and New Year's always exciting because, you know, no matter what happened last year, it's a new year, you know, and so we like new beginnings, we like fresh things, and because of the resurrection, every single one of us, we get to start all over again, right? Our past can be forgiven. You know, regrets that we have are a horrible, horrible thing. You know, this is really stupid, but it's the only thing that comes off the top of my head. But last week, you know, I got a parking ticket, you know, and, you know, $320 a shot, man. I must have like 15 of them by now and things. And so, and as soon as I walked out and I looked at my car window and I saw the ticket and the first thing, I wish I didn't park there. You know, and we have, I mean, we have, you know, that's just a little one, right? I mean, I wish I would have played baseball when I was in high school. You know, I was really spending a long time, I was thinking about this a lot, and I got tons of regrets in my life. You know, but mixed with all that, you know, as I put my face and I begin to look at Jesus and the cross and the resurrection, all those regrets just seem to go to the wayside. Because now, because of what Jesus has done, I have a fresh beginning. I can start all over again. listen very carefully. Today, this day, right? I'm not talking about 10 years from now. Right now, as I speak, if you would commune with God today, and if you would pray a prayer today that I'll lead you in later on at the end of the service, you can start all over again. All those mistakes that you made, right? All those problems that you had as a result of the mistakes, and you know, all the weight and guilt that you feel, all that stuff in one swoop, could be washed away this day. Why? Because of the resurrection. Your past can be forgiven. You know, you think about, let's just do a little exercise, right? Think about the worst thing you've ever done. Don't say it out loud because the person may move next to you, right? Think about the worst thing you've ever done, right? Some of you guys, I saw some of you guys go like this and, oh, you know, I had that look on your face, right? Now, you pray a prayer to Jesus and he could take that away. He says, I buried into the deepest sea. I remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far I've removed your transgressions from him, he says. Isn't that amazing? You can have a fresh start today because of what he's done. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. I'll give you a little time to find it. Colossians is one of the ends of Paul's epistles that he gives us. Colossians 2:14 says this, having canceled out their certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. That's good news. That's real good news, right? That means this certificate of death, this sin that hung over each one of us, he literally took that thing, he ripped it apart, he canceled this debt, and what did he do? He went and nailed it on the cross, right? A beautiful, beautiful picture of what that means, right? He canceled out our certificate. This is God's pardon program. Jesus nailed it all on the cross. He paid for my guilt. He paid for your guilt. Paid for our sins. And that means every single one of us, we don't have to pay for it anymore. Right? Really, every single one of us, we don't have to pay for it anymore. We can start this new day, this life, this afternoon, and we could totally start fresh. Really can. Right? You can really trust me, right? We can really start fresh, every single one of us. Right? It means we don't have to pay for it. Right? God wants to forgive us of our past. He wants to cancel every debt that you owe. Emotional debts, relational debts, sin. All of these things he wants to cancel. Why is the resurrection, right? Or why does Easter matter? Because he rescues us from our past. He cancels our past. Number two, why does Easter matter? Because my present problems can be managed, right? My present problems can be managed. When you turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking, your present problems can be managed. You know, a major complaint I hear from people all the time is, you know, my life is out of control. You know, I feel powerless to change this situation. I feel powerless to break this bad habit. I feel powerless to save this relationship. I feel powerless to get out of debt. I feel powerless to manage my schedule. I feel powerless to do this. I feel powerless to forgive. You know, we feel so powerless to do so many different things in our lives. You know, that's exactly why we need a power that's greater than ourselves. Isn't that what it really comes down to? You know, every single one of us, right? You are not meant to live life on this earth on your own power. Did you know that? This might be a revelation for some of you. You are not meant to live life on this earth by your own power, right? God wants to have a relationship with every single one of us. That's what this whole Christianity thing is all about. If you've ever wondered, you know, Pastor Sam, you know, what is Christianity? Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a set of rules and do's and don'ts. It's not. Christianity is a relationship with a loving God that wants to simply love us. And he wants to love us so much, and he wants to protect us, that he asks us to live in a certain way, but it's because he loves us. You know, it's not because he's some cosmic killjoy, doesn't want us to have fun. You know, oh, those guys, they have so much fun on earth, you know. I wish I was down there, right, partying and doing all these things. Trust me, that's not what God is thinking, right? God is thinking, look, I want to save you, right, from the heartache and, you know, from the pain of this world. He wants a relationship, right? That's what he's after. Turn yourselves to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says this. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of his strength, of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. See, Paul is saying here, see, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that power that is available, right, that raised Jesus from the dead, that surpassing greatness, that power is available to every single one of us to live this life. Have you ever been in crossroads in your life and you just said, dude, I can't handle it, man. Right? Or you've, you know, you've sat there and maybe you're talking to your friends or something. You said, oh, man, this is too much. You know, this is just way over my head. Or I can't handle this, you know. And we go out and have a cursing session or something. Or, you know, or we go and take some drugs. Or I don't know, whatever you knuckleheads do, right, in these situations. Right? And, you know, go get wasted and stuff. You know, I've seen too many Korean movies, you know. And, you know, when things get messed up, what do? They head to the bar, right, and get wasted. And then they throw up their ramen on somebody, right. You know, I saw all those movies, man. You know, and it all goes to this like, I don't know what to do, right? It's over my head. I'm at a loss for words. I'm at a loss for actions, you know, and some of us become depressed. You know, I mean, that's what happens, right? Some of us, we just spend night after night after night, and morning stretches into afternoon, stretches into evening, you know, and then you have a house visitor and you open the door at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, in the evening with your pajamas on. And you know what I mean? You know, some of us, you've lived that life. You know, and we get really depressed because we can't handle things. You know, some of us grow manic, you know, and we just go crazy, you know. We'll clean up the house and clean every nook and cranny, everything, and, you know, and organize every folder in our house and our desk and every drawer and fold our clothes all over again, you know. And we you know, cope that way. But see, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived this perfect life. And then he gave himself to death on the cross. And then he rose from the dead, not so you can cope. Did you know that? Right? He lived this perfect life so you don't ever have to cope. Right? So you don't have to ever have to make do. You don't ever have to just get by. Right? That you can overcome and that you can conquer. Right? Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he says, you, right, speaking of this, is we are more than conquerors. Right? And we overwhelmingly conquer those things. Right? And you know, and you know, he's saying that you are, the word there is nikeo, right, Greek, which means an overcomer. And he says, you are an overcomer. And so God doesn't just expect us to, you know, just to, you know, just slide in, you know, over our problems and our situations. He gives us the strength to overcome these things. We are more than conquerors. We overcome. And the word there is overwhelmingly overcome. I mean, that's just like, you know, with flying colors we overcome. That's what he calls us to. You know, our Dragon Boat team, you know, I can't wait till our jerseys come in, you know, because on the back of our jerseys written really big is Philippians 4:13. Come on, church. Philippians 4:13. Things through Christ gives me. That's right. Right, all you GIC graduates, congrats. Hands off to you guys, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, or who strengthens me, depending on what translation you use, right? I can do all things. You know, I can overcome my depression. You know, I can overcome my sins. I can overcome unforgiveness. You know, I can overcome, you know, these people speaking bad things about me. You know, I can overcome, you know, when this person backstabs me. I can overcome my present situation, no matter what it is, because Christ gives me strength. The same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead, he says, lives within us. Every single one of us. If you are a believer, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for your life, and you say, Jesus, you are my Lord, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That power. You know, someone asked me yesterday, what does my email address mean? You know, my email is dunamis. Dunamis is the Greek word for power. You know, and it's the word is dynamite. You know, and that's what, you know, dunamis, you know, we get the word dynamite, dynamic from. And this, there's two words in Greek for power. One is dunamis, and the other one is, I think it's keraton or something like that. Sorry, it's been a long time since I studied that. You know, and the dunamis is this explosive power. You know, I mean it's not just, you know, like, you know, just like a little bit of power. You know what I mean? That's the only thing. Sorry, I got to think through my sermons a little more, right? But it's this dynamic, you know, just like overcoming, you know. It's like when Popeye eats the spinach and his arm, boom, boom, bam. You know what I mean? It knocks Pluto out. That's dunamis. And that power is in us. Every single one of us. It's amazing. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And it's that power to overcome. You know, a lot of times we're just coping. You know what I mean? And we're coping because we're not going to the power source. You know, let's be really honest. A lot of times, you know, we try to do it on our own strength. Right, and especially if you grew up as Americans, you know, you are bombarded with this, you know, the individualism, rugged individualism. I'm going to do it my way, right? You know, it's old Frank Sinatra song. I did it my way, right? It's one of the worst songs ever, you know, especially for a Christian, because that's not the way we live, right? You know what I mean? It's like the whole point is we didn't do it our way; we did it God's way, right? It's not my way; it's Yahweh. Oh, that's pretty good, man, right? And stuff. And so we have to remember that, right? In ever, some of you guys don't know, Yahweh means God, right? Some of you guys went totally over your head, but you guys that have gone to church all your life, you caught that one. That's all right. You know, but he gives us the power, right? When it's out of my control, when it's out of our control, right? It's never out of God's control. I mean, really. Even though it's out of our control, it's never out of God's control. Right? He will always give us the power to face whatever is ailing us. Right? Whatever, right? My present problems can be managed. Actually, forget the word managed. It's wrong. My present problems can be overcome. Right? Because he doesn't call us to manage our problems. Right? We're not here to cope with these things. You know, and the wonderful thing about giving these things to God, it's not a psych out job. You know what I mean? Because we do this sometimes, right? We hit a situation. All right, come on, Sam. You can do it, man. You know, and it's not what God is talking about. He doesn't come and just psych you up and, okay, Matt, go get him, Tiger. You can do it, man, right? No, he doesn't just, you know, butter you up and just send you to the fire, right? God butters you up, you know? And then he takes your hand and he walks right next to you into the fire, right, into whatever situation. And you got this big guy covering your back. You know, he's backing you up. He's actually fronting you up as well, right? That's what God's all about. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know, and when we translate it, you know, especially because we were studying John this past week, you know, the word, some Bibles translate it, the comforter, you know, or the advocate. You know, actually all those are very kind of not very good translations. And the best way is actually just strictly from the Greek. The word is parakletos, paraklete. And it literally means one who stands right alongside. You know, but even that's kind of doesn't give the word justice, because it's not just someone that stands alongside, but it's someone that is on our behalf. You know, he's our advocate, he's our lawyer, right? He's the one who's making a case for us. And so he's not just standing there doing nothing. He is active, he's operating, he's working, he never takes a break. Holy Spirit right next to us, right? He helps us with our difficulties. He's there right in the midst of us, strengthening us, comforting us. And the comforter is correct in some ways, because part of his job, parakletos, is he's encouraging us. He's saying, Matt, you can do it. You know, Matt, go for it. You can overcome this thing. And he just doesn't send you out there. He stands right alongside of you, and you goes together, right? You know, have you ever heard the phrase that says, where there's me and God, always a majority, right? That's a really good one to just memorize, right? If God is with me, there's always a majority, right? It doesn't matter if you face 1,000 people, it's always a majority, right? You know, it's an old, it was one of the old, I think Spurgeon or one of the old, you know, pastors from a long time ago, preachers. You know, he said, you know, a man does not fear who understands that his God is omnipotent. Right? A man does not fear who understands that his God is omnipotent. By omnipotent, I mean that he is all-powerful, that he is all the power of the universe. Right? And when we understand that God is on our side, right? Then we walk in this power, right? Our present problems can be overcome, right? Our past can be forgiven, right? Our present problems can be overcome. And the last one, number three, my future can be secure, right? My future can be secure. This is why Christians are happier than other people. You know what I mean? I mean, we're not trying to kill other people, right? I mean, I hope not. You know, we're not calling jihad, you know, and because we're just happy. We know where our future is, right? We know where we're going, you know. One of the universal problems that we've got in the world is death. It is, you know. Let's be honest. You're going to die. I'm going to die at some point. You know, unless Christ comes back, you know, every single one of us, we're going to die someday, right? You and I, right? Only a fool would go through life unprepared for something that he knows is going to happen inevitably, right? Not to do that just doesn't make sense. But sometimes we get so busy in the here and now, we don't stop to think about what's going to come, right? I mean, you guys know that, right? You guys don't think you're invincible, do you? You know, it's okay to think you're invincible when you're like 10, you know? Well, as you get an adult, you recognize that you're not invincible anymore, right? I mean, you know, and it's just something that obviously we don't really like to talk about too much. You know, when's the last time that you had a conversation and, you know, you invited some people over, you know, had a little bit of coffee, you know, and said, hey, let's talk about death, right? You know, if you don't believe, try it. Invite some friends over to your house, pour some coffee, and say, okay, friends, today we're going to talk about death, and see what happens. It's not one of those topics that we like to talk about, but it's an important topic because it's going to happen to some of us. You know, it might happen today. You know, I certainly hope not, you know, but it might happen. You know, it might happen tomorrow, it might happen 50 years from now, who knows? You know, we'd all like to think that we could live a long life and, you know, and die very gracefully in our sleep. You know, but the reality is, it's probably not going to happen that way. You know, I mean, who knows? You know, and I'm not trying to bum you guys out today. You know, but that's the reality of the life that we live. You know, old American saying, right? There's only two things that are sure: death and taxes. You know, and yeah, the tax part, especially if you're an American, is true. Especially April 15 just passed, right? But definitely, right? Death is a certainty in our life. You know, and so we need to understand that. And people all over are wondering, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know, I mean, we die. I mean, what is going to happen? We don't know. Even as Christians, you know, we had a very long discussion. I forgot it was in GIC class or EG, one of the classes. And we were just kind of discussing, you know, what exactly is going to happen in heaven? What's heaven going to look like? You know, and if you've been taking your cue of heaven from the theaters instead of the Bible, you're in big trouble. You know, because the way that the theaters describe heaven, you know, like Constantine, or, you know, Heaven Can Wait, or, you know, All Dogs Go to Heaven, and, you know, all these really stupid movies that, you know, but most of the world, their information about heaven is based on Hollywood and what they give us instead of what the Bible says. You know, let me tell you what heaven's going to be like. Number one, heaven is going to be a perfect place. It's going to be a perfect place. All right, the scripture says that there's no more tears, no more pain, no more shame. You know, that we're going to be able to, you know, according to what Corinthians says, that we're going to be able to recognize. You know, he says, you know, right now you see dimly in a mirror, and then you'll be known and fully known. You know, and we'll really know ourselves, and we'll know each other, and we'll be in the presence of God. And I imagine for the first, you know, maybe 100 millennia or so, we'll probably be on our knees just saying, holy, holy, holy are you, O God. You know, just like the elders are doing, the 24 elders that sit around the throne. You know, and you know, we'll be in constant worship, and, you know, it'll be streets of gold, and, you know, there'll be one huge mansion. Now, not everyone is going to get a mansion, okay? So that's bad teaching, right? There's one mansion, and there's many rooms in this mansion, right? That's what heaven's going to be like. And what's going to happen, you know, if I'm reading the Bible correctly in Revelation, that you know, all of a sudden, you know, there's going to be this war and all these things are going to happen. And then God's going to come and bring the new heaven and the new earth. And we'll all come back to this earth, to Eden, basically, and we'll live in eternal bliss forever. It'll be perfect. You know, I mean, perfection. You know, sometimes we perfect is so far from our grasp. You know, we don't know what it means. You know, but that's what heaven's like, right? Total love, total peace, total joy, total perfection. No sin, no mistakes, no regrets, no evil, no bad, no errors. It's perfect in every area. That's heaven. And we get to experience it, right? Every single one of us. You've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a ticket to heaven. That's good news. In fact, that's great news. Your future is secure. Now, the second thing the Bible says in order for you to get there is you have to be perfect, because heaven is a perfect place. So God's plan A is you are perfect, so you get to go to heaven. Well, we've all failed plan A. We made mistakes, right? Anyone here without sin, right? Anyone here never committed a sin? If you raise your hand, you just did, because that's pride, right? And so you're screwed either way, right? And stuff. And so, you know, we've all messed up in some way. And so we go to God's plan B, right? And God's plan B simply says, God says, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right, and you give him your life, and you know, and you just simply, you know, believe that he rose from the dead, and if you would give him that trust, that when you get to heaven, just stand up there and you can say, Jesus is my friend. Pop, Father, let me in. And he'll let you in. It's an amazing thing, right? I mean, obviously, none of us are plan A. This is an interesting story. It's a guy named Ron. He took his young son to a carnival one day, you know, and for his birthday. And he asked his son to pick six boys to go with him. And so Ron, you know, bought a roll of tickets, right? And so every line he'd come to, you know, he'd pull off seven tickets, right? One for his son and six for his friends, you know, and he'd give them these tickets and they all get on a ride and, you know, they go to the Ferris wheel or do something else. Well, they got onto this other ride, these bumper cars, right? And Ron was, you know, passing out these tickets, right? Well, he got the seventh ticket and then he got to the eighth ticket, you know, and all of a sudden this kid comes up, you know, and this eighth kid is holding his hand out. You know, and Ron looks over to the kid and says, who are you? And he says, my name is Johnny. You know, and he turns and says, who are you, Johnny? You know, and Johnny simply said, well, I'm your son's new friend. And he said that if I come to you, that you'd give me a ticket. You know, and Ron, do you think Ron gave him a ticket? Absolutely. Because this is his new friend. Now, I know that's just a silly little story. That's kind of the picture of when we get to heaven. Right, we're going to walk up there, you know, and, you know, according to, if I'm reading the scriptures correctly, there's going to be some kind of courtroom drama. You know, I don't know if it's going to look like Law and Order or The Practice or, you know, one of these shows, but the accuser of the brethren, the devil, is going to turn and say, I'll just use Matt since he's sitting in the front. You know, Matt, you did this on June 14th, 1999, right? Just, 1999, you did this thing, and then the next hour you did this, and da-da-da, and he's going to lay all these things out, right? You know, and then Jesus is going to stand alongside, and God the judge is going to stand there, you know, and Jesus is going to get up and say, I object, right? Because that's what lawyers do. And then Matt's going to stand up, and God's going to look, and he's going to pronounce sentence. Guilty as sin, this young guy, right? But he's going to see Jesus. He's not going to see Matt. And he gets his ticket. And he goes. And simply, Matt gets in because he's Jesus' friend. Right? Your future is secure. Your future is secure. You know, I mean, I've studied a lot of different faiths. I've studied a lot of different religions and cults. And, you know, outside of Christianity, I know no other belief system, right, that secures your future. Right? If you want to look at Islam, Hinduism, you know, a lot of those things are works-based. They're based on your performance. Man, what if you didn't perform on the day that you died? You're in big trouble, man. There's no assurance of salvation. You know what I mean? What if you didn't take communion on the day that you died? You're in big trouble, according to certain faiths. Right? But in Jesus Christ, in Christ alone, our future is secure. Because it's not based on what we did. It's based on what Jesus did on that cross. And then it's really about what he did 3 days later when he rose from the dead. You know, we showed that clip of that movie. You know, when I was thinking about showing the movie, I thought for sure my church would get so pumped up, man. You know, and see Jesus stand up and people, oh, yeah! But it didn't happen. Right? I don't know why, but it just didn't happen. And things, and, you know, but our future is secure because of Jesus. Easter matters, church. It matters a lot. I mean, it matters more than we think it does, right? Our past is forgiven. Our present situation, right? Our problems, our present problems can be overcome, right? And our future, every single one of us, our future can be secure, right? Every single one. You know, when you get to heaven, you'll say, God, I can't do this on my own effort. I can't get in on my own effort. The only way I can get to heaven, right, is because I'm a friend of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. John 17, verse 3 says this, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Right? That's what he says. He says, this is eternal life, right? That every one of us, we may know him and his son Jesus, right? The one who died for us. Right, that's what the Bible says. Jesus has already paid for your way to get in heaven. Right? It's a great deal. It is a great deal. Right? You get to, you know, be blessed in this life, and in the life to come, you get to enter into those pearly gates. You know, and I mean just think about the exchange, right? Your past gets forgiven. All these things that you've done, and God forgives you. He will. If you simply ask, it doesn't matter how grievous it was, doesn't matter how the darkest thing you've ever done, your past gets forgiven. That's his promise. In our present life, he helps us through. He stands alongside of us, right? And he overcomes with us, right? He doesn't just throw us out into the world and expect us to just live on our own. He stands with us every step of the way. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Right? He says, you are mine, right? And then our future gets secure. Every single one of us, right? We trust Jesus, right? And we get to go and we get to enter in into the Holy of Holies. Amen? The resurrection assured us that we have a place in heaven if we trust Jesus with our hearts. Let's close our eyes. On this special day, if you have never trusted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you've never had that divine moment, eternal moment here on earth, and honestly, Jesus, I welcome you into my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. I know that I've done wrong. I know there's nothing I can do to get into heaven, but trust in you. And I am willing to make that decision today to trust in you, Jesus. That's all that faith means, church. It just means trusting in God. And I just want to give an opportunity to you that would like to pray that prayer today. And we as a church would welcome you into the family of God. So today, if you're saying, Pastor Sam, I would like to have a relationship with this Jesus. If that's what your heart is saying today, I just ask that you just raise your hand in the air. All the eyes are closed. Anyone? Just lift them high. Be proud of this. Anyone else? Put those hands down. Thank you. I'm going to pray. I actually want to lead the whole church in a prayer. So especially for our brothers that have raised their hands today, we could all join along. So especially you guys that raise your hands, and everyone else, just follow after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I recognize that I've done wrong. And I ask you to come and cleanse me. Free me. And draw me near to God. Lord, I open my heart up to you. And I ask you, Jesus, to come and enter in. Lord, teach me how to love you, how to love people, and to live a life that you want me to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we all stand before the Lord? If you raised your hand today, I have a gift for you, so please don't leave until I give that to you today. We're going to sing, let's worship, let's celebrate, let's thank God for what He's done. Let's give ourselves to the Lord, and Poyoung will just lead us. Let's pray for our brother and sister on the right and left of us. Let's pray for God's peace and God's love and God's heart to manifest. Let's pray that we'd be able to run to God and He would come and forgive our sins. And let's pray for just incredible blessing to flow through our neighbor. Let's pray for one another. Amen. Thank you, God, just even as we sung today, Lord. God, you'll never let us go. God, you're faithful. God. Even when we're faithless, Lord, you remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. God, and so we thank you for the cross, God, and we celebrate the resurrection. We thank you, God, that you are the life, Lord. We thank you that you called every single one of us into relationship. Lord, I pray now that we would take this relationship, God, and make it meaningful. We would not squander it away, Lord. God, that we would cherish it, Lord God. We give our lives to it, Lord. And we live in such a way, God, that makes it attractive for other people to walk in this relationship. God, we thank you so much, God. Lord, we bless you. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. Give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. Amen. Christ is risen. Amen. Would you hug your neighbor? Say, God bless you. Have a great week this week. Please enjoy the rest of your holiday and have some refreshments with us.